Well, we are in this kind of kicks off week three. So last week we were in week two of Daring Faith, but this is our week three. And so hope that you have enjoyed the study. How many of you are enjoying care groups? Yes, not enough hands are raised. So either your care groups aren't great or you're not in a care group. Either one, I struggle to believe the first one. The second one we can help you with. But lots of options, and it's not too late to plug in. And as I was meeting with my group on Friday evening, we have an online Zoom, so you don't even have to leave your home. You can hang out in the comfort of your home. But just so appreciate Rick Warren and his heart for not only his ministry and what he's done, you know, pretty incredibly, but his heart to make quality things accessible and available. And I think every time we've done one of his studies, it's just been so easy to get into the hands of us as a church. So I think that's great. So this week we're going to talk a little bit about imagination and faith. And so I'm going to be kind of floating all over through scripture this morning. But I wanted to start with kind of defining what imagination is. So if you go on the internet and you look up the definition of imagination, it says it's the action of forming new ideas or images or concepts of external objects not present to your senses. And so that's like that most of us are like, what? I'm going to take a nap. So it's basically the visualization of things that you've never seen, experienced, or done before. And you are imagining, or you're envisioning those separate from your actual physical senses, right? And so there's nothing present in front of you. There's nothing you can pick up and hold on to. There's nothing that you can smell, taste, see, touch. It's just your brain is using its amazing capacity to create or form something that you've never experienced. So to use our imagination, because I'm a big nerd and love the brain, to use imagination, it requires the use of your prefrontal cortex, right? So that kind of sits up here behind your forehead. And your prefrontal cortex doesn't really like turn online and start working until you're like 3, 4 in that range. But basically, as that portion of your brain comes online and you begin to do that or use it, you have this thing called a visuospatial sketch pad. It is literally a blank whiteboard that your brain uses to imagine everything that you do. If I were to tell you 2 + 2 equals, you in your brain are going 2 + 2 equals 4. Right? You are imagining the problem because you have seen 2 + 2 written hundreds of thousands of times throughout your life. If I were to tell you that macaroni and cheese is for lunch today, you are beginning to picture your favorite interpretation of what macaroni and cheese is. And if you didn't have lunch plans, now you do, right? So the use of our imagination is critical throughout us as a developing person. So we use play and imagination to learn and grow. And those two things tied together help us to develop our social, our life skills, and our regulation skills throughout our life. We think of things and then we try to recreate them through the process of imagination. As adults, we imagine what our lives will be like. We imagine where we'll live. We imagine if we're going to be married, what our marriage will be like, if we'll have kids or not, what our dream job might be like. As parents, we imagine what it might be like to sleep in. As parents, we imagine all of the ridiculous things that our kids might do, and then we go and baby-proof and try to prevent, you know, those wild things from happening. And even in our best case scenario, our imagination still somehow does not capture the things that our kids will do. We imagine what kind of life we want for our kids. We imagine, you know, them going to school, having a great job, never having to experience, you know, any adverse experiences or anything negative. We imagine the day when we can send our kids off and to be successful and to do well. and hopefully to love God and to serve him. But did you know that God imagined you? That written all over the pages of Scripture is God's imagination. From the beginning of creation, creation was empty and formless, but God imagined the possibilities and then spoke it into existence. And before God spoke and saw it, God imagined that what he was about to create was good. And not just that, not did he just use his imagination, not did he just do creation, not did he just form us and call us to serve him, but he calls us to create and use our imagination alongside of him. And I think as we all sit here today, there's been a time in our lives where we have faced something big, right? And something big doesn't have to necessarily mean something bad or hard, but we've all been at a point in our lives where we had to make a choice. We had a big problem. We had a big possibility. We had a big dream that we were looking at, but sometimes those things are overwhelming. And we try to sit and imagine and work through all of the different scenarios that might happen. But sometimes we are bound by our own limitations. But the good news is that God can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine. And today I want to explore how the combination of faith and imagination goes together to help us to be able to see the possibilities that we have in God. And so the Apostle Paul writes about this, talking about, you know, that we have limited power, but God has unlimited power. And so beyond our ability to ask, understand, to seek, beyond our wildest dreams, God can do more. And so Ephesians this morning will be like the first spot we go, and then we're going to launch into other parts of Scripture. But Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 in the Message says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. And would you pause for prayer for just a moment? Heavenly Father, I just ask in this moment that we would, God, push all of those things that are vying for our attention afterwards just out. Put those out of our mind. God, not that some of those things may not be important or critical to you know, who we are as individuals, but God, in this moment, I want us to fully focus on you. God, help us to see how faith and imagination play together. God, and how that can drive us into a deeper faith. And God, thank you for every opportunity we've had over the last several weeks to connect in care groups, to connect into the word, and to hear from you. And God, we know, as Pastor Dave mentioned, that you are active and working. And God, even when we don't see how we can, you know, in our own imagination, see how we can meet a faith promise, God, you call us out to that, and then you provide in ways that we didn't think might be possible. And so, God, help us to focus on that this morning as we journey through Scripture together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, did you know that imagination is a God-given gift? If God uses imagination and all good gifts come from God and we have the ability to imagine things, then God, imagination comes from God. And as I mentioned before, early in the onset or the start of my sermon, is that God uses imagination in creation. He spoke the world into existence. Before that, it was nothing. He had to imagine it. He saw the stars, the oceans, the animals, people. He saw everything before it was made. In Genesis 1, we see that the world was formless and empty, but God had a vision, one filled with harmony and love and life. And in the same way, God has given us that ability to dream and think about what we want for our lives. Imagination is the power, the ability to see beyond what is and to see the possibilities of what could be. It's the starting point for every invention, every work of art, everything that has launched us into the next generation of future. Every development across the entire human species has come because someone thought and saw a possibility and then went after that and helped us. We have cars. We have cars powered by gasoline, right? Who thought we would could take something that would explode and turn it into something that explodes and self-contained, right? And then helps us drive down the road. But when our imagination is fueled by God, right, and we accept it and use that power from God to fuel our imagination, we shift our attitude from focusing on impossibilities to focusing on possibilities. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, again in the Message version, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. You see, without imagination, without the ability to dream of the future that's better or bigger or brighter or possible, we become stagnant in our faith. But godly imagination, tapping into God's power through imagination, helps us to see the world through kingdom eyes. At the annual business meeting, I thought it was fitting, and again, I think as Pastor Dave mentioned, this is sometimes God planning beyond what we can see, but we sat at the end of that and did something different where we asked you guys to dream of the possibilities of what could be. I remember Chuck Van Riper sitting up and talking and asking us to envision all of the possibilities that would happen if we upgraded and had a more permanent nursery that would be more welcoming to allow families to come in that would take use of our space better. We talked about the multi-use concrete slab that's going to be out here and all the possibilities that could happen and come with that. We don't have it, right? But you guys, as a congregation, we said, hey, we have a donation. Someone else saw the possibilities and used their imagination, and it required you to do the same. And so you said, yes, I will give money to that. I haven't seen one picture. I haven't gotten a list of activities of things we're going to do. There's not been one event planned to use that space, but I imagine that the possibilities are endless if we do it, and there are no possibilities if we don't. And so that's been our prayer as we go down and we do these things, is that let's begin to imagine, what do we want that space to look like? What types of activities and things do we want to be able to do out here? And the possibilities of how we can meet needs in the community are endless when we tap in. And we don't say, oh, it's $9,000, or oh, it's this. But we say, no, it's far beyond that. And so imagination is a God-given gift that we have that we ought to use to help see things through God's eyes. And faith is what makes that possible. It's not imagination alone that's enough, but there was a TV show or a movie. I think it was actually the TV show Friends. And they were talking like, I don't want to talk about my feelings. I'm like, yeah, can you imagine Martin Luther King gets up to have the famous I Have a Dream speech? I have a dream, but I don't really much feel like talking about it, right? Or imagine if we visualize and saw the Mona Lisa but never painted it, right? It's not enough to have just imagination, but faith has to come and help our imagination become possible. It's imagination that's coupled with faith and trust. Faith is the belief, the noun, as Pastor Ron talked about last week. Faith is the belief that we know that God can do the things that he promised, right? Faith is the thing, right? But trust is the action. The action is trusting that God is working even when we don't see it, or even when we don't understand or have the full picture. It's trusting God's ability to do more than I could ever imagine, more than what my limited human brain can comprehend and understand. It's trusting that when the Bible says that God's ways are higher than my ways, it doesn't mean that God is saying that he is better than us. It just means that we can't comprehend and we don't need to comprehend, because God can take care of us. Trust is what carries you on difficult days when you don't see relief from your physical, emotional pain, stress of the things that you're going through now, and struggling to wonder if those things will end. But Paul reminds us again, going back to Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all the things we can ask or imagine for, because God is not limited by our finite amount of processing speed in our brain. God's power is unlimited. He has the ability to transform situations beyond our comprehension. Pastor Ron said, setbacks are set ups, right? And so if we don't use our imagination and tap into God's, and we see setbacks as failures, and we dwindle and we stop using imagination because of that. But if we can focus and tap into the trust that comes along with faith, we can see that those setbacks are set ups. And we don't have to understand how it might happen. We just have to trust that God can do it. Because God is good. Wow. Wow. Thank you. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Wow. Because things don't happen in our times, things happen in God's time. And so imagination is a gift from God. And imagination is not enough. Imagination has to come with faith and with trust. And when we use imagination and faith and we have trust that God can do, that's when miracles happen. When we combine those things together, God helps us to see the impossible as possible. And we look back over the pages of Scripture and we see tons and tons of stories about how God was telling his people that these crazy things were going to happen. He told Abraham, leave everything you know and go to this place you've never seen before. By the way, it's filled with people who don't like me and who are going to hate you, but go there because I'm going to give it to you. You're one guy, but somehow I'm going to help you overthrow and take over a land that you've never been to before. And I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars, but by the way, you haven't had a kid yet. And then when I tell you that, I'm going to wait decades before I even start to have the promise. You become so lost in your ability to imagine that it's possible, you begin to laugh. Because you don't think it's possible. Or think of David, a young shepherd, sitting in the fields, going to visit his brothers in battle, and here is the entire army of God trembling because they don't see how they're going to beat this giant. There is no difference between the knowledge of God that David had and what his brothers had or what anybody else in the army of God had. But David spent his time tapping into the possibilities of God and singing with God and praising God and worshiping God alone in the field. And so he tapped in and saw him having victory before he ever picked up the first rock out of the river. David saw the opportunity for God's glory to be displayed. What about the feeding of the 5,000? We'd never multiplied food before, right? The disciples didn't even think that it was a possibility. Their thought was send them away, let them go find food before we get too far and it's too hard for them. But Jesus imagined God feeding his people before he picked up the first loaf and the first fish. And he fed 5,000 and more than 5,000. It was 5,000 men, so women and children were also fed. Noah and the ark. It had never rained before. God came and said, Noah, build a boat, right? What's a boat? What do we need a boat for? It's never right. It's just dry on the ground. Nothing's ever happened. Up until then, water had come up from the ground to water the crops, not down from the air. Noah had to imagine building that ark and that it had an intended use, despite all the people calling him crazy. In all of these examples, all of the people surrounding what God was trying to do could not even imagine God prevailing in those circumstances, that thing was needed or even going to happen. They limited themselves because they didn't tap in and have faith and trust that as many times as God had provided for them before, that he could still provide. You see, when we trust in God's power, we allow our imagination and our minds to go beyond the limitations of earth. And we open God to do more than we thought was possible. Jesus says in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move it here or there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I think it's important to understand that it's not just, as Pastor Ron mentioned last week, it's not just having faith and life's great and we go on. Scripture actually promises, no, you have faith in God and life's going to be harder. But with that faith comes the trust that we know God is working. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our source of strength in the meantime before he comes back. Faith activates our imagination, and trust pushes us to explore and bring those visions and dreams to life. When we pair faith and trust with our imagination, the possibilities with God are endless, and he can do immeasurably more, as Paul writes. But the barrier to that is, the barrier to imagination and faith and trust is doubt. And doubt is fueled by fear. Fear causes us to stop seeing things as possibilities and seeing them as impossibilities. Seeing that the current situation, the health concern, the crisis, whatever is going on in my present life and time will not end because I don't see how it could possibly end. I'm stuck in this temporary fixation on what's going on. And I think this happens to us as believers too, not just people who don't believe, but this happens to us as believers is because we start to fixate on measurements and things of earthly origin. And so we look at things like money and think, but you know, we have money, but we don't have as much money coming in, and so you know, we have to protect and do all these things. We look at time, we look at volunteers, we look at attendance, we look at all of these things that are man-made, designed, and created, and it begins to limit the possibilities and things that we have. When I became the family life pastor, and don't go in and look because I haven't done 2025s yet, so this is a good bad example, but I wrote out my goals for every year, and there's a whiteboard in my office, and it says, here's my goals, and it kind of lists all the varying ways I'm connected through ministries, and there's like questions and tangible things that I want to do with that. And as I sat on that, as I was writing that down, and this happened a couple of years ago, was the first time, but I wrote it down. It was like, grow young adults, like grow kids ministry, grow this, grow, like, and it was growth based on numbers. And I kept feeling blocked in, like, that was the first thing that I thought of. And I remember sitting in my office going through this and trying to figure it out. And I wanted using my imagination, for lack of a better term, trying to figure it out. And I just remember God saying to me, like, attendance is not the measure of success. And so I erased those grow, and I wrote that at the bottom of the board. Attendance is not the measure of success. The measure of success is God told us to go and we go. Scripture tells us to go therefore and make disciples. It doesn't tell you how many to make. It says, go therefore and be my witness until the end of the world. It doesn't say line up 50 people to get into heaven or anything like that. It doesn't say anything. And I'm not discouraging, you know, people who celebrate the number of witnesses that they have. Just saying attendance is not the measure of success. A church that prays is the measure of success. A church that seeks out to meet the needs of the vulnerable in the community is the measure of success. A church that opens the door and does ministry with the same enthusiasm, whether one shows up or 100 show up, is the measure of success. And so I thought this morning I would lead us in a little bit of a visual activity. I'm going to use our Visio spatial sketch pads for a few minutes as we end. So I want you all to close your eyes. And I want you to think of a word, a picture, or an image of the thing that you are afraid of. What's holding you back? What earthly limitation is preventing you from seeing possibilities in God? Maybe it's pain. Maybe it's physical pain. Maybe you have a physical issue that has lingered and gone on for a long time. Maybe it's loss. Loss of mobility, loss of freedom, loss of a spouse, a loved one, a family member, loss of the picture you thought life was going to be like at this stage. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you're angry at others. Maybe you're angry at God for not answering a prayer you wanted or answering it the way you wanted. Maybe it's worry that you're not good enough. That there are things about you that God can't use or overcome. Maybe it's doubt. Doubt that you have faith big enough to trust that God can do. Or it's fear because you have had failures or things that haven't gone your way in the past. Imagine how heavy that is. Imagine how hard it is to breathe under all of that weight and how all-consuming it feels to carry that burden by yourself. And I want you to think about what it might like to be free from that. Imagine walking up to Jesus, his arms and hands stretched out, and him taking that from you. Imagine how light you feel, how warm you feel, how safe and comfortable you feel. Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And so I have a jar of mustard seeds, and I am beyond sure that there are plenty for everybody. But as the worship team comes to lead us, I'm going to stand right here as they sing. And if you want to release that thing, you can simply give it to God and come and take a mustard seed. And what I would encourage you to do with this mustard seed is I would tape it somewhere with scotch tape so you can see it. Tape it to the mirror in your bathroom, on your refrigerator, to the rearview mirror of your car. Tape it somewhere to remind you that you have access and you need this amount of faith in God to do anything that's possible, to free yourself from the burden, to free yourself from the shame, the guilt, whatever it is that you're feeling that's preventing you from using your imagination to see the possibilities in God. Because church, when we do that, we are successful. So as the band comes and plays, would you come and give your fear or your barriers to God and take a mustard seed of faith with you?